Declare your glory, so we clap our hands and we lift our voice, God. We stand on our feet to signify that we honor you, God, and we praise your name and we lift you up. Because you've been everything we need. You've been our all-sufficient Savior, God. You've been our life. You've been our breath, God. And we came to glorify you. We won't get tired, God. We glorify your name and we lift you up. Because if we don't cry out, God, the rocks will. So we magnify your name, God. You are awesome. You are excellent. You are holy. You are righteous. There is no God like you in all the earth. If I had 10,000 tongues this morning, God, I cannot thank you enough for all of your goodness and all of your graciousness and all of your kindness and all of your faithfulness and all of your mercy and all of your love, God. We give you thanks and we give you praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 God, we bless your name this morning. Would you just grab the hand of your neighbor and let's just pray right quick. Let's just pray. God, how awesome and amazed we are that you have once again blessed us with the extraordinary gift of life, God. And it's not just any kind of life, God. We're not at the bottom of the barrel, but we are blessed people this morning, God. And so we come into your gates with thanksgiving and we come into your courts lifting up praise because you have been an awesome, incredible, wonderful God to us this week, God. We want to thank you, God, for the opportunity to gather in this your house. God, without fear of persecution, there was no one standing at the door waiting to blow our heads off because we declare your name and so forth. The wonderful gift of safety and protection, God, we want to say thank you, God. God, we want to thank you for this hand that we hold, God. We want to thank you, God, that whatever issues are in their lives right now, God, that you are able to handle it, God. God, I don't have to know, they don't have to tell me, but I believe that you are God for my neighbor today, God. And so I want you to speak a word for my neighbor today, God. I want you to touch my neighbor's heart, God. I want you to touch my neighbor's mind, God, so that we will leave this place transformed and changed, God, to win the world for you, God, in the name of Jesus. Come into this place, have your way, and speak, oh Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more time, would you just clap your hands and give God a praise? Amen. 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 And now you may have your seats in the presence of God. What's up, Uplift? Listen, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Let me tell you what's so extraordinarily incredible about this moment, because I remember when Uplift was just a dream. I remember when Pastor Ball and I used to sit down at tables, you know, with a nice glass of red or whatever. And he used to share the vision that God had given him. And what an awesome God we serve. That God is a keeper of God's promises. And that when God gives you a vision, God will make a provision. I want you to just help me honor and thank God for the vessel of this house. Pastor Marquez Ball. Oh, come on, you gotta stand and clap for him, because we honor those who look over our lives and care for us. Pastor Ball, you are a phenomenal leader. I'm glad to call you brother. I'm glad to call you friend. And I am so thankful that you follow God's vision, because you having the courage to do what God called you to do gives me the courage to believe that if God can do it for you, he'll do it for me. Amen. So listen, this is what I did. I wrote a poem. Well, it's not really a poem, but I used Pastor Ball's name because he's my friend. I wanted to make fun of him a little bit. I used his name and I came up with some attributes that you probably already know about him, but I just want you to just appease me this morning. Okay, so the M is for marketing genius. Yes, he is. The A is for always dreaming about what's next. Yes. The R is really skinny and short. The Q is for a quasi-intellectual, but really just a nerd. Yes. The U is unapologetically called by God to pastor Uplift Church. The E is for every lazy person's nightmare. And Z is for zealous and crazy and full of incredible faith. So one more time, can you help me bless God? Amen. for Pastor Mark Wegsbaugh, awesome leader. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of men or women all of the good things that God is going to do in Uplift Church. Do you believe that? Amen. I'm trusting God that that is true on your behalf. So this is what I want to do. I have a couple of CDs. One of my friends, really good buddy of mine, Anthony Brown. Have y'all heard of him? So Anthony Brown and Group Therapy released a CD on Friday, and I was there, and I bought like a whole box of them. And when I bought the box, I had Uplift Church in mind. Now, the reason why I want to bless somebody with this CD is because I believe that it is good and right to sow into fertile ground. Amen, somebody. And I bought the whole box of 15 because if God ever blesses me to have a CD, I want somebody to walk up to the table and buy a box of 15. Amen. Praise God. So this is what I want to do. I want to, and guess what? This is not just any old CD. Every person in the group signed the CD. So what I want to do, I want to give this to the person who showed up at Uplift Church first. Who was here first this morning? Jesus was first, but who was second? Kevin, come on up here, man. Come on up here, man. God honors faithfulness. And this is just to say thank you, man, for doing what you do for the house of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for getting it ready for us, man. And then the second CD is going to go to my blessed friend back here on the keyboard because she sang my song this morning. I walked in and I was like, when I was here the last time, you sang this song, I Am. And she's like, well, I don't know the words, but I'll look them up. And she did it. So praise God. Hallelujah. That's for you. Amen. Woosah. All right. Now we're ready to get into the word. Pray with me. God, we're thankful for the opportunity to break open your word. We pray that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts so that we can be transformed, God. We don't just do this for show. We don't just do this because we need something to do on Sunday morning. We do this because we desire to be more like you, and we believe that our lives are transformed by your word, by your presence, and by your power. So speak to us today, God. And may our lives never, ever, ever be the same because of the word that you will speak to us today. Thank you for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
So today, I want to talk to you from the topic, pull up your pants. Pull up your pants. So Uplift, what if I told you that right now, at this very moment, you have the capacity to change the world? What if I told you that God has given you this incredible gift, that it is one of the most precious and one of the most valuable and one of the most transformative tools known to humankind? What if I told you that when you activate this incredible gift from God, that there is nothing you cannot do? What if I told you, my brothers and sisters, that with this gift, you have the power to change the dynamics of any room on any day at any time? What if I told you that this gift that God has placed on the inside of you is actually the solution to racism and sexism and ageism and prejudice and haterism and I don't want to participatorism and every ism that ain't until it is? What if I told you that on the inside of you, that God has uniquely gifted you to change the world? But despite the fact that you have this incredible vessel in that earthen vessel that God created, we still choose to live lives of sorrow and lives of lack and lives of disappointment in the eyes of God. If I told you that God has given you this incredible gift But that we as believers, we as the called and chosen of God, still choose to walk around with our tails hanging out. That we walk around with our pants hanging low. That despite the fact that God has chosen us and chosen to gift us with this incredible gift that has the power and the capacity to change any room, that we still walk around with sagging pants. And in some cases, we don't even wear pants at all. Hold up, Joe. Are you telling me that God has given me a gift, but that this gift is directly connected to the proximity of the waist of my pants to the upper part of my buttocks? Are you telling me that God has given me this crazy potential, but that I am not accessing this potential because my pants are hanging low? Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying to you this morning. I am saying to you that on the inside of you is the capacity to change the world, the capacity to change any room, the capacity to take any problem that we experience in our world and make it good. But we can't do that because as Christian believers, our pants are hanging low. You're sagging. Your pants are too low. And the reason why I want you to open your Bibles and turn to Colossians 3 is because you still think I'm talking about literal pants, but I'm talking about your spiritual pants. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3. In the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3. And when you are there, would you just say amen? Amen. And if you are not there, say, hold up. Hold up. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Almost. Everybody there? We got it. Okay, so listen. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to go to verse number 9. And I think we have this translation here, so you can leave your Bibles open, but look up at the screen, because I want you to read this version, because this is the Message version of the Bible, and it is the best transliteration of the Bible that you have ever read in your life. I love the Message Bible. And this is what the Message Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. And this is the part I really want to hone in on. So chosen by God for this new life of... Okay, you got to preach back to me. Chosen by God for this new life of... Dressed in the wardrobe that God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place. Let me just pause right there. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Period. This is important. So if you have been asleep up until this point, please wake up. And regardless of what else you put on, wear. And regardless of what else you put on, wear. And regardless of what else you put on, wear. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. So Paul here has written this letter to the church at Colossae. And it's a church that's not really that important, but it's a church that is faced with a complex challenge. And Paul understands that if he does not write to the church at Colossae, that this issue that they're dealing with has the power to destroy Christianity altogether. You see, there were false prophets who were coming in and trying to invalidate who Jesus was, trying to invalidate the fact that Jesus was all sufficient, because you know Jesus is all sufficient, right? So there were false prophets coming and saying, well, nah, Jesus ain't all sufficient. And so Paul has to come. And for the first two chapters, Paul is setting up this treatise, if you will. He's saying that Jesus is all sufficient. He is everything that you need. You need to live your life. And when you're in church, you need to do this and all of that. And whatever the prophets are telling you, it's false. And if they come to you bringing you a gospel that you have not heard me preach, you need to put it off. And then he gets to the third chapter of Colossians. And he starts telling them about this new wardrobe. And he is going down the list and he is saying everything. Now, if you back up to verse 8, if you're in the Message Bible, it gives you some real good stuff like bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity. Quiet in the church, dirty talking. And then if you back up even further in like verse 5, it talks about sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. And then after he gives us all these things that we need to put on, he gets down to verse number 14 and he says, whatever you do, whatever you wear, whatever you put on, don't forget to put on your pants. He says, don't forget to put on love. He says, you can have the jewelry, you can have the hat, you can have a scarf, you can have the bracelets, you can have your girdle on, you can have your cologne on, you can have your cane, you can have your hat tilted to the side. But whatever you do as Christian believers, don't forget to put on your pants. Don't forget to love. And what an incredible warning that is for we who call ourselves Christian in 2015, that no matter how much you pray, how much you fast, how much you speak in tongues, how early you get to church, how well you play the piano, how much money you put in church, at the end of the day, what really matters is how you love. Because perhaps Paul understands this, that if you get and master and put on love, you automatically get everything else. That if you master love, that everything else on the list comes along with it. That love is the one thing that gives you everything. I can tell you this, that the entire Bible from beginning to end can be summed up in one word, love. That the entire Bible is focused solely on our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And for 66 entire books, God is trying to prove to us and trying to convince us how incredibly important it is that we love. I'm in the scripture, I'm in the Bible, because Matthew 22:40 says every commandment, all of the laws hang upon these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as you. That was Matthew 22:40. Romans 13:9. Galatians 5:14. All speak to this notion that love is the most essential thing. Now, brothers and sisters, why is it then that the one thing we hear so little about in church is love? Could it be that the devil has waged war on the body of Christ such that, as the biblical writer said, that the love of many in this last day has grown cold? Could it be that if Paul were here standing and preaching to us today, that he would say, yo, brother, yo, sister, stop embarrassing us. Pull up your pants. Stop showing your butt. You are giving God a black eye because you thought it was about the song and the dance and the worship and the lifting your hands. And it is. But more importantly, it's about love. So this is what I want to do. I want to spend a little bit of time just kind of like explaining and breaking down to you what love is, because we often talk about it. And most of the time when we're talking about love, y'all thinking about what y'all do when y'all mama made, your mom and your daddy made you when they was listening to Luther Vandross on Friday night. Oh, don't even act like you don't know what I'm talking about. So that's called Eros, but that's kind of Eros, like where we get the word erotic, yeah? That's Eros. But what I want to deal with today is I want to deal with agape. The agape, unconditional love of God that God says to us, I want you to do for them what I done for you. So let's look at a definition for love. Love is, and I put a verb, the dictionary really said it was a noun, but as Christians, it can't be a noun. It has to be a verb, you know that. Love is an action word. So love is the unselfish, the loyal, and the benevolent concern for the good of... Okay, I'm going to step out the way so you can see it, because y'all ain't preaching loud enough. Love is the unselfish, the loyal, and the benevolent concern for the good of... Love is the unselfish, the loyal, and the benevolent concern for the good of... Okay, take it off the screen. Love is the unselfish, the loyal, and the benevolent concern for the good of... Y'all still cheating. Love is the unselfish, the loyal, and the benevolent concern for the good of... Love is the loyal, the benevolent concern for the good. So let's break it down even further. Love is the unselfish. Yes. So what that means is that love is not self-seeking. Love is not self-promoting. Love is not selfish. Love is not self-serving. Yeah. That love really has little to do with you and everything to do with the person on the receiving end. That love is unselfish. But not only is it unselfish, but it is loyal. And that word loyalty, man, like if I were to ask you how many people in your life are loyal, I probably couldn't get you to give me a full five. Because loyalty is hard. Loyalty has to do with this faithfulness, and not just any kind of faithfulness, this kind of faithfulness that endures under suffering and under hardship and under misfortune and under pain. So love is, loyalty is like this. Loyalty is like this. Me and Ball are friends, and I love him, and I am loyal to him. And because I am loyal to him, when Ball does something that I don't like, it might offend me. And so I fall back, but loyalty bounces back just like this. Loyalty is like this. Loyalty is like this. Husband and wife fall out because he spent too much money, but it bounces back up like this. Loyalty is like this. It is able to endure anything and everything that comes, such that love always remains. And see, what we need in the body of Christ especially, we need people who understand. You can go back to the definition, my man. We need people who understand loyalty. And not loyalty for the sake of saying, oh, I'm loyal to you, but for the sake of the love of God being demonstrated in the earth. How can you say you love Pastor Ball, and the first time Pastor Ball says something that you don't like, oh, I'm leaving this church. I got to go. But see, that's not love. Because love is unselfish. It's loyal. And then watch what else it is. It's the benevolent concern for the good of another. Now, this word benevolent, it's a really cool word. Benevolent doesn't just mean being nice or being kind. The word benevolence speaks to being dispositioned by doing good. It has this inference of sacrifice, you see. So a benevolent member is the kind of member who says, you know what? I was at work all night. I just got off at 12 o'clock, but I'm going to be the first person here to unlock the door. A benevolent kind of person is the kind of person that says, you know what? I live in Civil Spring and you live in Columbia, but if you need a ride to church, I'm going to figure out how to get you to church. That's benevolence. It's not just like these little kind mamsy-pamsy, like I saw you at the metro and because you live on my street, I'm going to give you a ride. Nah, that's easy. What we're talking about is the unselfish, the loyal, and the benevolent concern for the good of another. Well, so you think I'm making it up, so why don't we just go to another scripture passage? Because you believe the Bible, don't you?
Yes.
All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You already know. But see, I got it in the Message Bible, because your King James Bible, it ain't going to break it down like this. It ain't going to break it down with the get down. So can we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Read this when you get home. Check this out. Everybody look up at the screen. Love never gives up. Love cares for others more than for self. Oh, God. You know what? We should take this and we should put it on a bulletin board and we should put it on a billboard and we should put the billboards outside of every single church, right? Because most of the time when you're walking in church, the people that you're experiencing in church and the people who say they're Christians on your job, maybe you are one of them, they don't do none of this stuff. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. That means it's not envious. That means that, you know, that means that when the brother comes driving up in his BMW, that you're not sitting over there saying, well, how he get that? I want one of them. No, I don't just want one of them. I want his. Because I don't want him to have it. That ain't love. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Keep going, my man. Come on. Okay. Love isn't always me first. Love isn't always me first. Love isn't always me first. This is marriage counseling 101, man. This is fits my relationship with my sisters and my brothers. 101 right here. Love doesn't fly off the handle, parents, when your child is doing something that you don't like and you snatch them by the hair in the grocery store and you grab them out and beat them in the back. That's excessive. Child abuse. Love doesn't fly off the handle. What? Look at this one. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. That means that if I make you mad this month, that 6 months down the road, you're not still mad about something that happened 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Love takes pleasure. Oh, no. Love doesn't revel when others grumble. Love is not like this. Well, he should have never divorced me. It's good that they repoing his car.